David is going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Oh, I thought, excellent. First song of the... But then he's told me, getting all that sort of fruit. So I've tried to find songs that sort of that mirror the different gifts of the Spirit. But before we carry on, I would like to read from John chapter 15, beginning at verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like the branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you
for all your gifts, for all you've done for us,
and for all that you will continue to do for us in the future, Lord. We glorify you and we praise your name, Lord. Amen. So, the first song we're going to sing is For Joy. You shall go out with joy. Let's put the music the right way around. No. First of the gifts that's mentioned in the Bible is love. So,
sin upon his shoulders, the shame.
be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. So just before David comes to bring us the word, a quieter song, which just encapsulates the whole business of God. The song is "The Goodness of God." I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me.
Sharing with us this evening. Our reading this evening are those well-known words from Galatians chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Just a few thoughts on those verses. Don't know how many of you were here last time we spoke, but we spoke on, I think the subtitle was Fish and Ships, if you remember. Today, perhaps, then we've got the dessert. We have a fruit salad. Now, I don't know if any of you are good at telling one type of tree from another, particularly in the winter when there's no leaves on the tree. It's easier to tell when the springtime comes and the fruit appears. The leaves and the fruit tell us what type of tree it is. It marks out a distinct variety or family of tree. It also tells us something about the purpose of the tree, which is to bear fruit. And I'm sure we've all heard it said before that it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. It talks about a singular. And therefore, we're not at liberty to choose which of these qualities we show. We have to show all these qualities. And if perhaps one is missing, then we can either assume that we're not living as we should as a Christian, or that we're quenching the Holy Spirit in our lives. In nature, in the trees, it's not an option for the fruit to bear tree, for the tree to bear fruit. It's not an optional extra. In fact, it's the opposite. The main purpose of a fruit tree is to bear fruit. And the fruit is proof that the tree is alive. Its purpose and our purpose is to bear fruit. Our purpose is to bear spiritual fruit. We had that reading from John earlier that Ian read to us. But we know that we can only bear fruit as God works in our lives. This passage in Galatians tells us. Paul was contrasting the Christian life to those who live life in the flesh. If we live by our own standards, we know that we will not produce fruit of the Spirit. Briefly, I want us to reflect on the fruit. Fruit is something produced because of what we are. And we're going to have a few verses now from Matthew chapter 7. I hope they will come up there now. And it says, by their fruit you will recognise them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So what does that tell us about us? Are we recognized as Christians by our spiritual fruit? We don't tell a tree what fruit to produce. Nature decides that. And although, yes, we hear about grafting from one tree, one fruit to another, a tree can't change the fruit of itself. It will bear the fruit that the tree is known for. So what is the source of the fruit? The source of the fruit, the life of the fruit, is from the inside of the tree. It needs to be cultivated. It needs the sun, the rain, and nature to help it to produce that fruit. But the fruit, the nature of the fruit, the life of the fruit is from the inside of the tree. Now, of course, we as Christians, we also have that special energy from inside, which is God's Holy Spirit. And that's a gift of God to all believers. We all have that. But do we produce the fruit that we should do? Very briefly, I want to have a look at the order of this fruit. It's interesting to note that in many cases, love is not the first one mentioned. It is here. Romans chapter 5. Hopefully verses will come up. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace is mentioned first. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, but God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So love is the last one on that particular list. We know also that the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, at the end of that, in verse 13, it says, and now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. When we come to 2 Peter chapter 1, these verses also tell us a bit about love. It says this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So even in that reading, love comes at the very end. And yet here in Galatians, it's the first one. This surely tells us that none of the other writers copied what Paul had said here. But every single one of these writers were inspired by the Holy Spirit himself as they compiled these verses. And so we want to look now at these fruits. What do they mean to us? There's just a couple of observations. We have been looking at these verses, and we know that they apply to us as much as they did apply in Bible times. It's been said, and I'll leave you to think about this when you go home, that this fruit can be divided into three groups. The first three, love, joy and peace, relates foremostly to God himself, because God is the true lover, the true love of our life. He's the giver of pure joy and the author of our peace. So they relate, in one sense, to God. The next three, long-suffering, gentleness and goodness, relate to others and the way we treat them, being patient with them, being kind to them, helping them. And the last three talk perhaps more to us as individuals, personally. Faith, meekness and temperance. God is faithful to us. Are we faithful to him? Are we becoming more and more faithful in our lives as we live in the Spirit? Are we becoming more humble, more meek, and maybe even more important? Are we becoming more self-controlled? So we're going to be looking at these nine gifts, nine fruits, and finding what they really mean. Love. What is love? It's a characteristic mentioned here, and it's the first one. Loving God and loving others is the natural outcome of walking by the fruit of the Spirit. If we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we will love. Love is a decision that we make despite our own feelings. It's easy to love people who love us. It's easy to love people who we get on with. It's not quite so easy to love people who perhaps we have disagreements with, who perhaps have hurt us, who perhaps have annoyed us. And so love is a decision that we make to give to other people despite our own feelings. Second one is joy. Joy is a happiness, but it's more than that. It's more than just a feeling. It's based on spiritual realities. Joy, deep down joy, keeps us from despair when things really get tough. Sure, we all find life is very tough at times. We all struggle over many things. Maybe it's finance, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's health. Whatever it is we're struggling with, do we have this deep-seated joy in our lives, knowing that God is in control? Are our eyes set on spiritual realities? And if not, maybe it's because our relationship with God is not as it should be. We heard a little bit about that this morning. And I think perhaps that's quite true. If our relationship with God is not right, then joy is something that perhaps we lack. Peace is the next one. And that comes from relying on God's grace and being able to rest in the knowledge of God's forgiveness. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves if we've done something wrong, if we've hurt someone, said something, perhaps we haven't meant to hurt people, but we've said something or done something or thought something even, and we just haven't got that peace in our lives. And again, this morning we were told and encouraged to come into a place of repentance and to come and ask God for forgiveness. The next one is patience. Now, I'm sure that we'd all like to be more patient. Perhaps this is one of the most hardest of the characteristics to cultivate. Long-suffering and endurance are perhaps words that help us understand what patience is. The joy and the peace that we talked about earlier are perhaps the foundations that we need to learn to experience patience as we go through life's difficult experiences. Surely we should learn from the one who has so much patience with us. I wonder how much patience God has with us. How much do we realise the patience of God? Now, recently we went on holiday down to Dorset, looked at the sat nav, and it told us it was going to take us 4 hours. 5.5 hours later, we're just about turning into the place that we wanted to stay at. When you see a sign in the motorway that says 40 miles an hour, and all you can do is 20, it's frustrating, to say the least. We need patience when we're driving. We need patience with each other. We had this family holiday, and there was times when we needed patience on that holiday. Why? Certain people wanted to do one thing, certain people wanted to do something else, plus the fact we had two teenagers with us that wanted to do something completely different. Patience. You know, they talk about patience being a virtue. And you know, we all need patience. I wonder how sometimes whether we get impatient, not only with people that we know outside, but also perhaps in the church. Maybe somebody says something or does something, and we just haven't got the patience because we know that they're wrong. You know, sometimes patience is one of those things that we don't stop to think about, especially when we do stop and think about how much patience God has with us, how much God has done for us. We've been singing about the goodness of God. And kindness and goodness were our next two. Our kindness to others comes from recognising God's kindness to us. It's been said that goodness is kindness in action. We are called to treat everyone, including those that we don't like, including those we don't get on with this spiritual fruit of kindness, no matter how we ourselves are treated. And sometimes that's not easy, especially if somebody wrongs us. The old flesh nature wants to get your own back. That's not God's way. Faithfulness was the next one. As we look at all these characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, we see all of them have been displayed to us first by God himself. We are the recipients of the fruit because he has been faithful, because he has been good, because he has given them to us. And because he's been faithful to us, we as Christians need to bear this fruit of faithfulness. Show that we are dependable. Show that we are faithful to him in our service for him. I said just now that patience is possibly one of the hardest things to cultivate and to characteristics to cultivate. And what about this last one? Self-control. These two, gentleness and self-control, are similar. And they speak about a person who has control over their emotions, over their words, over their actions. And this brings us full circle, back to verse 16, where Paul says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will have control over all these things. I wonder, when we look at all this fruit, are we living as we should? 9 separate fruit there. 9 things to cultivate. Are we always loving? Are we always faithful? Are we always gentle and patient? Have we always got self-control? I think if I'm honest, I can't say I have. What about you? I'm going to finish by reading a poem, which is based on Galatians. It says this: walking in the Spirit means living every day, looking up to Jesus and following his way. And when I give him all of me, just like a mighty tree, my actions will become sweet fruit for all the world to see. Galatians 5 lists all 9 fruits the Spirit wants to grow. And if you read them for yourself, you will be sure to know that love comes first, the kind you choose, not feelings you may lose, but actions that show sacrifice and branch out the good news. And then comes joy that you can hold no matter what life brings. It's the song of all God's promises, the glad heart daily sings. Sweet peace comes next, a quiet heart, though life may twist and turn, then patience shows it wants no part of sparks that quickly burn. Kindness is an active fruit, it treats others with care. The love of Jesus is the root that spreads it everywhere. Goodness knows and does what's right. Its actions match God's teaching. It spreads his shining perfect light into a dark world reaching. Faithfulness is like a rock, a firm and steady friend who never leaves you hanging but is loyal to the end. Gentleness is tender, strong. It turns the other cheek. It rarely ruffles when it's wronged. It's a synonym for meek. And then at last, fruit number 9. Its growth requires practice. It doesn't lash out, pout or whine, or prickle like a cactus. It doesn't need to argue, and this should be our goal. For with the Spirit helper, we've the fruit of self-control. When you put the 9 together, a fruit salad you will make that proves to all the world your life is lived for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that as we've looked at your word, that you will help us in the days to come to be able to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, we confess that we let you down at times, at times when we don't act or speak as we should. We don't always act or speak when we should. Father, we ask that you will help us to grow these fruits of the Spirit, that we might cultivate them and be more like you, that our lives might really tell for Jesus as we go into a new week. Help us, we pray. not to live the life of the flesh, but to hand everything over to you and know that you can and will use us, whatever the situation. Amen. We also know that trees grow at a different rate. They produce fruit at different times of the year. And you know, sometimes perhaps we expect new and young Christians to just be able to cultivate fruit and grow quickly. But sometimes new people coming into the church, they need time to grow. But there's also a situation where some of us who have been travelling with the Lord for many years perhaps, we feel that our lives are finished. Well, that is a mistake, because as we all produce the fruit of the Spirit, God will use us in the days to come as we commit ourselves to Him. I'm going to pass back over now to Ian and the worship team as they bring us another song before Nathan leads the communion.
So we return to song with a fine old hymn, which highlights another of the fruits of the Spirit. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. Thank you, David, for blessing us this evening with the word of the Lord. And what a word of encouragement for us, that we are called as Christians to bear fruit. And Jesus told his disciples to do exactly that. He told his disciples that I am the vine and you are the branches. And then he told them to remain in me so that you can bear much fruit. And as we partake of communion together this evening, we are reminded that without Christ, we cannot bear fruit. We cannot bear fruit of our own strength, but it's only through Jesus Christ and through the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, as David has shared with us this evening, that we can bear fruit as believers. So as we partake together this evening of what represents the body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, let us be thankful in our hearts that through Christ and his sacrifice and his unconditional love for us, then you and I can live not just any type of life, but we can live a victorious life, and we can bear fruit every day for the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come and to lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine. Oops.
Let us pray. To whom then can we compare God? What image will you compare him to? Dear Lord, we thank you that nothing can be compared to you. We thank you that your love for us is incomprehensible and it's immeasurable. Yeah. We thank you that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave on the cross never ends. And this mystery that we share today, Lord, is eternal. And as we partake of it now, we thank you that those fruits that are missing in us can germinate today, take fruit and grow to affect our lives and those of others around us. We thank you that there is nothing that is impossible for you to do. So as we share this communion in humility, in our weakness, and in our lack, Lord, we thank you that you complete the picture that is us. And you make us whole by partaking in this communion. Lord, we know that of ourselves, we do not deserve it. But only by the blood of Jesus that we commemorate this day are we worthy to come and feast at this table. Thank you for the work that you are going to do in us to make us more fruitful. Help us in every endeavor to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. David shared from Galatians 5, and in that very same letter from Paul, in the previous chapters, he, in a real sense, reprimanded the church, or certain sections of the church, for really watering down the true gospel message. And he was concerned that some in the church were turning away from the gospel message, the authentic message of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He warned them to stay true to the true, authentic gospel message. And as we partake together this evening, let's be thankful in our hearts that there is no other gospel than this. This is the real deal. This is the authentic message. It's the only means that you and I can be saved. Amen. Through the body that was wounded on the cross, and through the blood that was shed from our Savior. We are so grateful this evening for this sacrifice of love. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he records these words: "For I have received of the Lord that which I also now deliver unto you." At the very same night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around a table with his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, "This is my body, which is given and broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Amen. As you are now served with what represents the body of Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Manner, he then took the cup and he said these words: "This cup is now the new covenant that will now be sealed in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat from the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that great promise that one day Lord Jesus will make his return." Amen. As you are now served with what represents the shed blood of Jesus Christ, please do retain your cups until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our unity that is through the blood. Amen. This morning we prayed as a church for all of our young people, children and teachers, school staff, as they're preparing to go back to school this week, and we prayed that the blood of Jesus would protect them and keep them safe. Well, this evening for each and every one of us, as we drink together, again, that same blood of Jesus that was shed over 2,000 years ago, it still has the power to keep us safe, give us peace, and most of all, to give us salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. Let's drink together the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are so grateful as often as we continue to remember your sacrifice. This is the one thing that we do with regularity that will never get bored, boring. It will never become mundane, because this is what it's all about. This is the true meaning of life everlasting. This is the true meaning of peace that surpasses all understanding. And we thank you every opportunity that we have that we can remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross on our behalf. But Lord, we don't just think of our own personal salvation, but we also think of those who have yet to experience, Lord, the nearness of your touch. We know that you are knocking on the doors of hearts all around this community, all around this nation and all around the world. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to do that, so that men and women and boys and girls all across this world would respond positively to the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray as believers and as a church that we will be a faithful witness of your gospel, that we would bear fruit each day so that our lives can point to Jesus, and so that our lives can testify of the wonderful saving power of Jesus Christ. We pray for each other now, that as we shortly go back out into the world, that we would continue to let our light shine into the darkness that points to the way of Jesus Christ. So once again, we thank you for the cross. Thank you for our salvation. And we pray that you will continue to fill us up so that we can bear fruit for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
So the songs tonight, we've covered joy, love, peace, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness. And our final song will encompass everything else. The Lord's my shepherd, I will not want.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me
just all say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Teas and coffees will be served outside.